Welcome to the Ultimate Soulmate Summit, brought to you by The Soulmate Secret and the Calling in the One online course with your hosts, Arielle Ford and Claire Zammit. Today's Soulmate Seminar is with Hale Dwoskin on the topic, Transforming Heartache into Magnetism, How to Make the Energetic Shift You Need to Attract a New Love. Hale Dwoskin is the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Sedona Method, your key to lasting happiness, success, peace, and emotional well-being. Hale is one of the 24 teachers from the movie The Secret and a founding member of the Transformational Leadership Council. He is the CEO and director of training of the Sedona Training Associates, which he co-founded in 1996. He is also the co-author with Lester Levinson of Happiness is Free and Easier Than You Think.
So we're thrilled to have you with us, Hale. Welcome.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
Hale, this is Arielle. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm really good.
I have the good fortune to know your soulmate, Amy, but Claire hasn't met her yet. We were hoping you'd share with us, sort of right here at the top, what it's meant to you to spend your life with your soulmate.
Oh, that's a passionate subject for me. Well, it's been amazing. Amy and I both, I'll tell you a little of the backstory. Amy, when I first met Amy, she was dating someone else, and she took my card. And she called me up because she thought I was safe. I was not the type of guy she usually dated, and she also didn't think I'd be pushy. And lo and behold, through a lot of releasing on my part, and which we'll talk about later, actually, how to do that, about how to release to... if you're interested in someone, how to release in a very loving way to make it a more possible. You can't really control the outcome, but you can certainly clear the space, if you know what I mean. Anyway, but we've been very fortunate as we met, and Amy, I had already done the Sedona Method for quite some time, and Amy learned it within a week of our meeting. And that became the basis of our relationship even before we got married. And when we got married and even before, the only reason we stayed together, I mean, if anyone tells you relationships aren't work, they're not telling you the truth. Even if you're absolutely certain you're with your soulmate, it's a process, especially in my experience, especially if it's a relationship with the opposite sex. That's my personal preference, but even if you, men really are from Mars and women really are from Venus on a lot of levels in the way we see things. And we forget that. We often believe that the women actually expect men to just be women with more hair. And men have a similar expectation for women, and because we don't really realize that we have some basic difference in our programming that we should honor instead of trying to change, it requires work to find commonality or mutuality, and Amy and I were willing to do the work. And so our relationship has been exquisitely beautiful. It's had its ups and downs, but I'm happy to report that we've been together since 1989, and I'm more in love today than I was in the honeymoon phase of our relationship. And that's not typical.
I think it is typical of soulmate relationships, though. Claire and I have talked about this many times, that when you really are with your soulmate, the relationship, like a great wine, gets better with age.
Sure. But also, I think when you feel like you're with your soulmate, you're willing to let things go. Whereas if you're not sure, you're not. And also, I know people who I'm certain are soulmates, but they've certainly gone through it. But anyway, the bottom line is, I feel very blessed to have Amy as my mate and my partner and my confidant and And she's also has had the misfortune of being the CFO of our company, and which was not an easy job, because she had to be the one to say no when I'm a commensurate salesperson, so I'm always wanting to do the next thing, and Amy unfortunately had to be the one to say no, and it wasn't really fair or easy on her. But the bottom line is, together we've made a very strong partnership on every level, and I'm deeply grateful to have her in my life.
That's beautiful, Hale. Thank you for sharing that with us. And for Ariel and I, and we've worked with thousands of singles through our work with The Soulmate Secret and the Calling in the One online course, and I know that you've worked with thousands of people doing very deep transformative work for over a quarter of a century.
Yes.
What do you see are the biggest obstacles for singles seeking a soulmate relationship?
Well, there's several. To me, the key one is the feeling of scarcity or seeking. Most of us in relationship, whether we're already in a relationship or we're wanting to be in a relationship, are hoping that the relationship is going to complete us. We're hoping that the relationship is going to fill in the blanks. Now, I'm not saying that there are certain weaknesses and strengths that two people bring together that don't make a bigger hole. That's not what I'm saying. But if you're not feeling whole and complete within yourself, you'll tend to project that onto your partner, and you'll see their lack of wholeness and their lack of completeness, so you won't be able to be satisfied. And if you're feeling needy or incomplete within yourself, you might meet someone who potentially is your soulmate, but you're so much in need or wanting, so much feeling incomplete within yourself, that you drive them away. Everyone has had this experience where when you're not really wanting a relationship, when you're feeling complete within yourself, you're much more comfortable in those type of social situations where you could meet someone. And it usually goes a lot better.
It happens faster.
It happens a lot faster, yes. And so one of the core tenets of the Sedona Method is want equates to lack. The more you want something, the more you feel like you don't have it. And that's especially true in relationships. The more you're wanting to be in a relationship, the more anytime you're in a situation where you could potentially meet someone, you're going to be more nervous, more uptight, more needy, and you project that neediness onto the other person. And often, when someone's feeling needy around you, if you look at your own experience, when someone feels confident and relaxed within themselves, you're much more likely to feel your own confidence and relaxation and open up to them. But if you're feeling like they're trying to get something from you, even if you like them, there's a tendency to backpedal a little bit.
Hale, before we ask you to sort of demonstrate how the singles can utilize the Sedona Method for these types of things, give us a little bit of background. How did you get involved in this?
Oh, well, back in 1976, I was leading a seminar for a different seminar leader, and Lester Levinson, my mentor and the man who inspired the Sedona Method work, came as a guest, and I didn't even notice him in the seminar. He didn't say much. He wasn't this type of guy who always wanted the center stage. He was the exact opposite. But I had the good fortune of going out with him and the other organizers and the seminar leader. And as he talked, he didn't say much about what he did. He just said, you sit around the table and release. And I had no idea what that is. This is in the 70s. I thought releasing was beating pillows. Because the whole idea of letting go and releasing is something that the Sedona Method over the past 35 years has brought into mass culture. Amongst, of course, other things, but it really was one of the first, except for the AA community talked about it sooner. But besides that, no one else is really talking about it like we have been consistently since then. But at any rate, Lester didn't say much besides that, but he was a living embodiment of something that I was definitely seeking, and I'd never met anyone who was truly a living embodiment before. I'd met people who were teachers, both from the East and the West, and they had inklings of what this was all about, but they were still seeking themselves. And I could tell that Lester wasn't. And that really got my attention. And so I signed up for the course, and I was on the course by this following weekend, and it was so deeply moving that what happened in just these few days. It felt revolutionary inside. And I also got this intuitive sense that I would be spending the rest of my life, or at least a good portion of it, dedicated to this work. I realized that at age 22, just from taking the course before it was even over, and I've been doing this work ever since. And who knows if I will continue to do it. You never know, because I less and less feel like I'm in charge of my life. It feels like it's simply unfolding as it is, and I'm joyously watching it unfold. But at the moment, it's still at the center of my life, and it has been for 35 years, and all was inspired by meeting Lester Levinson. And he said to me that Lester passed away years later. I actually should tell you just a little bit about the Lester story. It's kind of fun. When I met him, he also said that basically he had been sent home to die from a second coronary back in 1952. And rather than give up, he went back to the way of within himself, and he started a process of self-inquiry, and he discovered some remarkable things about himself and about human nature. And then at the end of 3 months, he went from a physical and emotional basket case into a state of profound peace that he lived in another 42 years after the doctors had given him a death sentence. And he was in great shape up until right before, just the last few years before he died, he let the body kind of run its course. And before he died, he passed all his copyrights to me, and he said, "I want you to continue the work." And I actually fought him a little on that, because at the time, my self-esteem wasn't up to it. I didn't think I was capable of living up to his expectation or following in his footsteps. But I didn't fight that hard, and he insisted anyway, so it wouldn't matter how hard I fought. And he also said to me that you would continue to evolve this process. And when I inherited the Sedona method from Lester back in the mid-90s, there was only one way of letting go, just deciding to drop it. And now we teach five. And they include deciding to drop it, welcoming what you're experiencing, diving into the core of it, welcoming the two sides of any apparent opposite, and also discovering what's beyond letting go, which is that true presence of awareness that you are. And all those things just evolved out of me just reaching out to help other people.
Mm. And what are the kinds of transformations that participants in your courses and workshops and people who practice the Sedona method typically experience in letting go of these kinds of things?
Well, and that can be the topic of many books, but I'll give you the high-level summary. First off, people find that their relationships get a lot easier, a lot smoother, and a lot more healthy, and they're able to attract their partners and keep their partners much more easily. Mm-hmm. They find that their level of abundance and their ease and comfort with money and abundance on all levels goes up dramatically. And people also find that their health and well-being goes up dramatically. And it includes very specific things, like people who had severe depression and anxiety have it clear up. People who the court said you have severe anger issues and you better do something about it have had it clear up in weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I just remembered one story of a woman a few years ago. Just from listening to our audio program, she didn't actually have any direct interaction, not even as much as you're having right now on this call. And she just listened to our audio program, and she sent in a gain. We call them gains. So it's just some of the benefits they got from the course. And this is what happened in just 6 weeks. She healed her relationship with her teenage son, and they hadn't been talking for a couple of years. You know, they just kind of grunted at each other. Even at meals, she couldn't get him to be communicative. And then they were having normal conversations. Her anxiety and depression cleared up completely, and even just 6 weeks, she was already reducing her medications. And she went down, I think, 2 dress sizes because she had dropped her addiction to ice cream.
Mm.
So that all happened in 6 weeks of listening to our audio program using the process.
I remember years ago, Hal, you said something that has never left my mind and has become something I achieve some days, but not all, through
okay.
Sleeping, which is imperturbable happiness.
Yeah, I love that term, and it's something that Lesta talked about, that everyone is capable of having unshakable happiness and peace of mind in life. And that's been my experience. I have to say that occasionally things will disturb my equanimity, but usually that doesn't last more than minutes. Even with traumatic things, like 10 years ago, a little more than 10 years ago, 1998, I was in the hospital for a week and then on antibiotics for another 3 weeks because the doctors thought I was going to die. But I was not upset. I was okay either way. I was also in extreme pain, and that also wasn't disturbing. And what I find is my living experience, and this is not just special to me, but people who do this work, is they find that they have more and more unshakable happiness all the time, even in circumstances that would ordinarily be very unhappy. Like, for instance, what if you've been looking for that perfect someone for a really long time, and you keep trying, and it's not working out? And that can create extreme unhappiness because most of us believe that we need to be in a loving relationship. Otherwise, we can't be happy. And I don't believe that's true, and we can talk about that more later. But even in the circumstances where you don't get, it's easy to be happy when you're getting what you want, but then you become dependent or addicted to the thing you got. And if you don't keep getting it, you can't stay happy. But it's much harder to be happy all the time, whether or not you get what you want. And that's a universal report from people who use the Sedona method.
Well, and back to what you were saying earlier, it's this place where of essential happiness and fulfillment within ourselves that we're going to be most magnetic to love and
Absolutely.
Able to attract our soulmate.
Absolutely. And also, we'll do less to sabotage. Unfortunately, most of us are relationship saboteurs, and there are several things that we do to sabotage relationships. One is, especially if we are in a relationship, one of the things we tend to do once we've gone through the honeymoon stage of our relationship is we tend to start looking for things about the person that we don't like, and then we start focusing on that. It becomes a new meditation. Oh, they just did that again. And that can actually start even in the dating process. I have friends who in the dating process have a list of 100 characteristics they want in their mate. And they check it frequently. And unfortunately, if you have a long list like that, it's going to be hard not to find some things that are missing. What I find is if your main goal is just to find someone who loves you and you can love them unconditionally, and you build everything, and of course they're healthy and they're not an axe murderer, but you know what I mean, they have some basic characteristics. But if you get too specific, what we can tend to do is either before the relationship's had a chance to really bloom, we can keep digging up the seed because we're so busy wanting to change the things about the person that aren't exactly according to the list. Or once we're in a relationship, we make up new lists of all the things wrong with our mate, and we start checking things off every time they do it, and we start expecting that rather than doing things that we're going to love because they're doing them.
Hal, talk a little bit about how using your release technique works for those who are still in love with somebody who either dumped them or is now deceased or they're divorced, and they know for certain that this person is not going to be their soulmate, and yet they're obsessing about them.
Oh, sure, because they're confusing love and need. You don't have to give up the love you feel for another person, and that's a big misnomer. A lot of people think that if they love someone, the only way they'll be able to let them go is if they stop loving them. No, the only way you can, the way you let them go is to stop needing them, stop wanting to own them or possess them. But you can still love them, and you can love someone and let them go. In fact, if you've been in a relationship with someone and it didn't work out, the loving thing, if you really love them, you would want for them what's best for them, which would be to find someone who it did work out for. And of course, if your mate passed away, what they would want for you is for you to let go and move on. But we forget that. And we're afraid to let go of the pain and the angst and the trauma of losing someone because we think we have to let go of the love. But in my experience, if you let go of the pain and the angst and the trauma, that you don't lose the love, it magnifies the love, because in my experience, love is actually who you are, and you bring that to a relationship. You don't, if you're trying to get love from a relationship, it's not going to work. But if you bring that loving nature of who you truly are to a relationship, then the relationship fills with mutual love. Because love attracts love. But need attracts need, or actually need often attracts rejection. And so what you'll find is that as if you're willing to let go of wanting to possess the person, wanting to hold on to the person, wanting to change how the relationship turned out, all your hurts and disappointments, if you let all that go, what you'll find is you're clearing the decks for someone new to come, and you're also eliminating a lot of unnecessary suffering.
Mm-hmm. And so I know that this kind of letting go on a lot of different levels was critical for me in the process of attracting a soulmate, and for Ariel as well. What do you see are the biggest things that we singles need to let go of to be able to attract love?
Well, the biggest thing, there's several. One is, of course, the past hurts and disappointments, and also the closing off that we do after each relationship. Most of us tend to close off parts of ourselves when a relationship ends unsuccessfully. We tend to blame ourselves or blame our partner or both. But no matter who we're blaming, we're cutting off from our loving nature. And that makes it harder the next time. You're creating all these compensations. You're creating almost like a maze that the next person has to go through. And every time a relationship ends badly, you just add to the maze. And pretty soon it gets pretty complex. And so the thing to do is to let go of what was and see the person in front of you instead of all your past boyfriends or girlfriends. And that's easier said than done, unless you're really letting go. And actually, you know, I can go on more talking about it, but I'm getting the sense it might be nice to do a little process so people can start to feel what I'm talking about.
That'd be great.
That sound good to you guys?
That would be wonderful.
Okay, great. So this process is called triple welcoming. And what I mean by welcoming is if you can just simply put your hands together for a second as though you're about to pray. And then if someone you saw was coming to you right now, you know how you'd open your hands to welcome them? You'd take your hands apart? That's what I mean by welcoming. That just allowing what is to be. That sense of being with what's happening as opposed to resisting it or wanting to change it. That sense of just simply allowing or welcoming what is. And what I found over the past few years of working with people is that there are three things in any situation. If you welcome these three things, the whole structure of what's been causing you suffering there just simply dissolves. And what takes its place is the light of the truth of who you are, more love, more caring, more spaciousness, more openness, more relaxation. And so this process we call triple welcoming. It's also what we teach in my new film. I created this process because a couple years ago I was invited to speak at a World Peace Festival that actually never happened. The people never got it together. I don't think they ever will. Got postponed, but I just don't think they're ever going to get it together. Amy, my wife and partner, and I said, well, what is it if we just had 5 or 10 minutes with 1 billion people, what would we teach them? And this is the process we teach them. And it kind of evolved over years of me working in my seminars here in Sedona. But it kind of distills the essence of a lot of what the Sedona Method is about. It's not all of it, but it's a lot. And it's something that just doing this will totally transform your life. So I'll explain it, and then we'll do it together. The first step is to welcome the feelings, the memories, the wherever it's feeling stuck, the issue itself. The next is to welcome all you're wanting to fix it, change it, control it, do something with or about it. When we're wanting to fix or change or control what was or what might be, we contract around it and we fight with it. It becomes a battle. And then the last thing we welcome is we welcome any sense that it's personal. Now, this might seem weird to do this, but to the degree that we make any issue personal, to that degree we suffer and we hold on to it because we think we are that. Like we think, most of us believe we are our failed relationships. We are the one who's lonely or alone. But that's, yes, of course, you may not be in a relationship right now, but that's just simply what's happening. It isn't who you are. It's temporary. And so when you welcome that sense that it's personal or about you or who you are, in addition to welcoming those other two things, it opens something up inside. Sometimes it feels just like a profound relaxation or unwinding. Sometimes it feels like actually something is unraveling inside of you or opening, just dissolving. And sometimes it's more subtle than that, but it's always very powerful. So let's do it together. So everyone think of all your past frustrations and disappointments and betrayals and all the excess baggage you're carrying around about relationship. Most of us have a lot that we carry around with us. Again, it doesn't matter if we're actively in a loving relationship right now or we're wanting to be. So could you just welcome all your past hurts and disappointments, all your past failures with relationship? Now, I know this seems like a lot. You don't have to sort through it. Just welcome whatever comes to mind and just that energy of all that past stuff. Just like that. And then could you welcome all your desire to fix it, to change it, to control it, to do something with or about it, to push it away or hold it close, to figure out how to do it better or what you need to do now? Could you just welcome all of that? And then could you welcome, too, any sense that it's personal, that it's about you or them, that it even belongs to you or is about you? Could you just welcome that sense? Not deny it. The mind might say, well, yeah, of course it's personal. Well, just allow or welcome that as best you can. And then in this moment, as best you can, could you just simply open to that love that you are. The love that you experience when you have a partner is the same love that's always here, always now. And so could you just open and welcome that love that you are as best you can? Okay, great. So that's just one round of doing that process.
And Hal, would you repeat all three steps over and over?
Sure.
Or do it find sufficient?
It depends. Sometimes that's enough on a topic, and sometimes you need to do it a few times. I mean, we obviously took a very big charged area and kind of summarized it in one release. So there may still be some charge, obviously, on relationships. But notice how you feel just going through that once. Notice even after just doing that once, and that took a minute or two, Notice how much calmer you feel inside, more relaxed, more open. And you may even be more aware of the love that you are.
I definitely feel more peaceful.
Exactly. Mm. And so that that process is something you can do anytime, in or out of relationship, to immediately start to dissolve that excess baggage that we carry around that gets in the way.
Is there a different one that we would do, let's say, for those who are thinking, you know, I'm just a loser at love. It's never going to happen for me, for the people who are stuck in,
sure.
You know.
No, but we can do one on that, too. And, again, I would do the same process because, again, beliefs really dissolve. I've done a lot of experimenting with this process, mm-hmm. and what I found is that even deep core beliefs can release in just a few rounds of doing this. So let's just do another. You okay with that?
It'd be great for us to just really collectively do this together around releasing this limiting idea it's not possible to have love. I know I certainly felt that for years on my journey, and it was something that was very painful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but let's just welcome all the limiting beliefs about love, whatever your favorite is. Some people believe they're not good enough. Some people believe it's not going to happen to them. Some people believe that they don't have a soulmate, or they're never going to find them, or they're
all the good ones are taken.
Right, all the good ones are taken. Or
I'm too old, I'm too fat, or I'm too damaged. Those are
right. Or all
right.
The above. Or all the above. So whatever your limiting beliefs are about relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, again, this is counterintuitive. What we usually do is we usually fight with our beliefs and try to accomplish over them or do things over them, only to have our beliefs sabotage us and color our experience. So for a second, let's do the opposite. For the second, could you just welcome all those beliefs? Just let them be here, along with all the feelings and decisions and compensations you have tied to them. Just really let them be here. Even just doing that, you'll start to relax inside. And then could you also welcome all you're wanting to figure out what to do? All you're wanting to know who he or she is. All you're wanting to live life without the beliefs or to have better beliefs. All you're wanting to fix it or change it or control it, do something with or about it, including push it away or hold it close. And you just welcome all of that. And then could you welcome any sense that those are your beliefs? That they're about you or who you are. Any sense of identification, any sense that it's personal. Now, again, if your mind says, well, yeah, of course it's personal, just welcome that. It's fine. And as best you can, just for now, could you just welcome that inner certainty or knowingness that may be faint, but may be a little more available in this moment, that love is possible. That you can have the perfect relationship for you. That someone is out there, and he or she isn't taken. Can you just welcome that into your awareness as best you can? Okay, good.
If I get any more peaceful, I might fall asleep.
Well, it's the welcoming and then the allowing of the possibility.
Yes.
I could just feel an expansion.
Yes.
And there being space.
Exactly. And when you, the thing is, a lot of us skip to the last step, and then we can't really do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do the first three steps of welcoming the obstacles themselves start to dissolve, revealing the spaciousness of space that's already there that allows for all possibility. I'll tell you just a little more of the story about when I met Amy. One of the things that I did is every time we got together, we released together. And I also made sure I was very released when I saw her. I was feeling like Ariel feels right now, feeling very peaceful instead of really needy. Mm. And that was so different than the other men she was hanging out with that she naturally felt attracted to me. And I wasn't trying to manipulate her. I just knew that if I didn't do that, I wouldn't feel comfortable with him myself. And I knew I'd be getting in my own way.
Mm. Well, so this is a great practice to do before you go out on a date.
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
or if the date starts going the wrong way, you can run into the bathroom.
That's right. Go powder your nose.
Right, or if he or she doesn't call.
Right, right. Oh, but again, there's so many levels.
Right.
The dating scene is such an uncomfortable situation because we're trying each other out. Even the smallest setback is taken so personally and so magnified that we tend to give up before we get to the goal, without realizing that sometimes we're right at the goal already. We just don't see it because we're looking in all the wrong places. So there's so many pitfalls or challenges when you're dating or when you're wanting to find that perfect someone that a lot of us have given up or we're just half-heartedly going forward, just assuming that's not going to work. And, you know, it is possible. The whole reason that you both are doing what you're doing is because it is possible. You've seen it from your own direct experience. And what the Sedona Method adds to that, or how that is complemented by the Sedona Method, is you both, I know, have seen the biggest saboteur is not really the person themselves. It's all that excess baggage they're carrying around that's coloring their experience. So they can't really see if the person's right for them or not. Or they can't pick up the phone to call them. Or they won't respond yes even when they want to. Or they'll respond no when they want to say yes. And there's so many other distortions.
Well, that's really my sense of what's so powerful about these exercises is that it's really a practical tool to let go of being identified with the negative belief or the limiting belief in a way that allows the kind of space to be able to see clearly and respond from the deeper center of who we really are and what's possible for us to have.
Exactly. That's exactly right. The more we let go, the more we respond from our authentic self. And honestly, in my experience, all someone really wants from us in a relationship is for us to genuinely be who we are. And we forget that in the dating scene. We try to put on this phony persona because we think that's what the other person's going to like. But if you really analyze that, or just even are open to it, you'll notice that that's not going to work because you can't keep that up forever. You'll have a horrible relationship because you're not being yourself. So believe it or not, it's better to be yourself on a date. And if the person doesn't like that, God bless them and move on to somebody else.
Right, absolutely. That was one of my biggest discoveries on the journey to finding love.
Yeah. But it's a great learning that you're passing on to other people because that's such a common misconception that on a date you're supposed to put on what you think the other person wants. And you can't keep that up.
Well, that was a big realization for me because that had been my strategy in all of my previous relationships. And I realized that even if I got so good as I could actually win at that, I would have to keep it up for a lifetime. So.
Yeah, it's not worth it. And it doesn't work. It doesn't really work because you never know when you're going to slip up, so you never can relax and can't enjoy it. You know, it's like you're held captive by this artificial persona you've developed to try to win someone. And the truth is, if they're not attracted to who you really are, then you don't want them anyway.
Yeah, I think for me, one of the core definitions of a soulmate is that it's somebody you can completely be yourself with.
Yes.
Mm. You know, then there's no need for a pretense or a facade. You know, you're
going to.
I love
that, Ariel.
Yeah, you bring somebody in who loves you for being you. In fact, I was reading something the other day. It's here on my desk somewhere. But basically, it says, love is when you let me be me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's also the other one. It's love is wanting for the other one whatever it is they want for themselves. So it goes both ways.
Well, and the you that's actually really authentically you as opposed to the you that is identified with your false unlimiting beliefs and all the ways that we show up when we're anchored there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's one more area that would be wonderful if you could guide us all through a process on, and that has to do with being able to release this deep yearning and need for love. I know I really experienced it for years when I was single at different periods, and it's something that we hear a lot from people who are on the path to finding love. There's a deep heartache and feeling of lack and longing that's so incredibly painful that we know when we're centered there, it's somewhat repelling. So if you could guide us through a process to let that go, that would be wonderful.
Actually, I'm going to do two.
Okay, great.
I'm going to introduce a new process. I'm going to do two. One is a process where we're just going to welcome that longing for love, and then just welcome the love that we are. And what happens when you go back and forth welcoming both of those is that the longing dissolves into the love.
Mm.
So let's do that now. So in this moment, could you just simply welcome any sense of wanting love or longing for love? Love from a partner, love from yourself, love for yourself. Any sense of longing or wanting. And then could you just welcome that sense of loving or love that you are, that's already at your core? Now, that may be not as strong as the longing at first, but even if there's just the faintest glimmer, it will keep getting stronger as we go back and forth doing this. So again, allow yourself to welcome any longing, any feeling of wanting or lacking love. And then could you just welcome having or being love as best you can? And then could you welcome any sense of wanting or needing love? Any sense of longing? And then could you welcome any sense, or welcome as best you can, that sense of being love, of having love, as best you can? And then could you welcome any remaining longing or wanting? And then could you welcome that sense of being love as best you can? And how did that feel, guys?
Wow. It feels really yummy. And then, of course, there's a part of my brain going, but it's so simple. How could it possibly work?
I'm glad you said that. That is one, that is one of the biggest challenges we always face as people learn the Sedona Method. Even when people watch the Sedona Method movie, we create this movie so that people in just an hour and 8 minutes can experience a lot of the benefits of what used to take a whole weekend seminar to achieve, and they could do it over and over again. But at first, the hardest thing for people when they're learning about the Sedona Method to accept is that it could be this easy. If it is this easy, why doesn't everyone do it? Well, on one level, they do. Releasing or letting go is natural. If we didn't do it somewhat, we'd all explode. But secondarily, the reason we miss it is most of us are looking for complexity. And we don't realize that truth is that which is most simple. It's not the complex. And when you look for the simplest solution, it's often the wisest and most effective. And so if your mind is saying, hey, it can't be this simple, just welcome that. Because it really is. It really is this simple to uncover love and be love and find the love of your life. It really can be that simple. And so let's do one other process around this. Let's do that triple welcoming again. So in this moment, could you just welcome any remaining longing for love, any remaining wanting love, and all the memories that tied to that, all the times you wanted to love someone and they didn't love you back, all the times when the love ended, all the times you felt like you didn't have enough love or you weren't getting the right kind of love or you just weren't getting any at all. Could you just welcome all of that as best you can? And then could you also welcome any wanting to fix it, to change it, to control it? Any wanting to make it right, figure out how to change, how to make it right, how to what to do about it. Any wanting to understand how to be in order to get love. Any wanting to figure it out or understand it. In any sense of wanting to do anything with or about all that past with love. And then could you welcome too any sense that any of that is personal? It's about you or them. Any sense of me or mine? Any sense of identification? And again, if your mind is saying, yes, it is mine, just welcome that. And then again, could you just simply welcome the love that you are, that's already right here, right now. The love that you're more obvious, that's more obvious to you when you have an object, someone to love. But it's actually always here, always now.
So, Hal, when you're saying welcome, could you also say you're just allowing something to be fully what it is?
Exactly. You're allowing it to be fully what it is. You're being with it fully. You're just opening to it fully. You're allowing also yourself to be as you are. And you're allowing what the apparent object to be as it is. So that's what I mean by welcoming. It's just simply relaxing and opening inside.
So this is the practice. And what about... if the pain persists, what many of us feel is that, you know, if I welcome that, if I really welcome the depth of the longing, I could get swallowed up whole by it. It's too big.
Oh, yes, it'd be over. Most people are afraid they'd be overwhelmed.
Right.
But the exact opposite is true.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, feelings only lie. They tell us we're going to get from letting go of them what we already have from holding on to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about love, that the feeling of love. I'm talking about the feeling of disappointment, of longing, of hate, of anger, of fear. All those feelings, they lie to us all the time, and they tell us to hold on because that will make us safe, or that will get us revenge, or that will get us, if we really want someone, really long for them, they're going to come to us. But the opposite is true. The more you want those things, the more you sabotage the goodness. And so what you'll find is if you welcome what you're experiencing in this moment fully, it doesn't have anything to stick to. It just passes through.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually letting it go. And you're creating the space for new experience, new possibility.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. These are really, really helpful practices.
My pleasure.
Yeah. And we want to encourage everyone to really, you can use the audio and go back and actually go through these guided practices several times to have a deeper experience. One thing, Hale, you know, the dynamics between relationships have really changed and transformed so much in the last 50 years.
Oh, my goodness, that's for sure.
What do you see as the future of love and partnership between people?
Well, I see a very bright future, even though right now the divorce rate of new marriages is even higher than it was, I believe, even 10 or 20 years ago. But I think that's a trend that's almost to the bottom, if you know what I mean. What I think is going to happen is all the structures that we've all gotten used to and the ways of seeing things and the ways of relating to things, they've outlived their usefulness. It's really time for a new paradigm, and that new paradigm is already being born. It's being born in the work that both of you are doing, it's being born in the work that the other people who are going to be on this teleconference is doing. It's being born through the work that of the Sedona Method and all the really positive tools for change that are all over the planet. And those are all gaining momentum because there's such a need for them on the planet. And the old ways of doing things, the old ways of relating, the old ways of the way of having settling for dysfunctional relationships or living the dysfunction from your parents or from your friends, all that is dying. And I'm not saying it's dead, because there's still a lot of that around. But it's on its way out. So if everyone allows themselves to keep following their own heart and their own inner knowingness, their own inner wisdom, they'll be guided naturally to tools and processes and teachers that are going to support them in making the transition from a world where everyone's your enemy and there is no one for you. It's just a continuous struggle, to a world where you're at home in the world, because the world is you, or the world, at least, if you can't stretch that far, the world at least is a friendly place. I believe that even though we're a minority now, we'll be in the majority, and that will be soon.
Wow, this has just really been peaceful and loving and nurturing, Hill.
That's such an inspiring vision for us to be left with.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Well,
I mean, that's really my vision
yeah.
for the planet. The reason we created this Letting Go movie, the reason we do what we do, is we believe that if enough people start letting go, and again, not just with the Sedona method, but all the really positive tools for change on the planet, that there really is a possibility for lasting inner and outer peace, for real, true, loving relationships, for the real social justice that comes from a change of heart as opposed to rules. And I believe the environment, as we love ourselves and love our partners and love the planet, we'll start loving the environment more, and we'll take care of it. We won't just keep raping and pillaging the environment.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start to take care of it. So I see that as a positive future. There may be some tumult in between. You know, there are a lot of people believe there are going to be some radical changes over the next few years, and I don't think they're wrong, but I think the ultimate outcome is going to be extremely positive.
Wonderful. And Hale, where can people go to find out more about your work, and can you share a little bit about what you're currently working on, what you're most excited about?
Oh, sure. Probably the best place to go is one of these two websites, either lettinggo.tv, which is our new website for our movie that came out just a few months ago and is already getting rave reviews from all over the planet and already getting amazing testimonials from people, lives transforming, just from watching an hour and 8 minute DVD. You can also view it online. So that's one place. And then the other place they can go is Sedona.com, and that's our site that's about all our audio programs and seminars. That too has some amazing information. But the latest stuff is on lettinggo.tv. So it's lettinggo.tv or sedona.com.
Well, thank you, Hale, so much. It's just been really yummy and delicious being with you.
Likewise. It has been fun being with both of you.
Any final words for our community of soulmate seekers?
Well, right now, right here, with or without a partner, you're already whole, you're already complete, you're already enough as you are, and you don't need to do anything for that to be. You don't need to fix yourself, you don't need to change yourself, you don't need to do anything except be yourself, and that's already whole, that's already enough, it's already beautiful. And if you can get that just a little, if you have a little more sense of that in this moment, then just go out, go forth in life and bring that with you, that sense of wholeness, that sense of completion. And anything comes up to distract you, just let it go and come back to the truth of who you are. And know there is someone for you. That's why you're listening to this summit, is because you know there is. So don't let the world discourage you. And just be open to having and being the love that you are.
Thank you so much, Hale.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Ultimate Soulmate Summit, brought to you by The Soulmate Secret and the Calling in the One online course. For more information about how you can download the audios in this series or order the CD set and companion workbook, please visit soulmateaudios.com. Again, that's soulmateaudios.com. On behalf of Arielle Ford, Claire Zammit, and our event partners, We want to thank you again for participating in this series and send you much love and support on your journey to manifesting your soulmate.